Good morning.
It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Phil Vacchio, and I'm an attorney at the Herzog Law Firm. Some combination of myself, my partners, Jay Marie, Dave Kabikian, sometimes Kim Hance, are here with you every Saturday morning talking about very important topics such as the God forbid type moments, death, illness, disability, what to do in those events, what to do to plan for long-term care, what to do when a loved one dies, and everything in between. We have Jay Marie here just joining us, a little snowy Saturday morning.
I hope you.
Took a while to get in for me, too.
Slippery, isn't it?
How's it out there by you, Jay Marie?
Oh, the side roads were terrible. Very slippery.
Yeah, the main roads are rather clear, but the side roads are
just
little...
about everywhere. The side roads, untreated surfaces. Everybody, please be careful.
That's right. Yes. Be careful out there.
That's right.
But this is a call-in show, and if you do have any burning questions on your mind and you want us to chat with you, you can call into the radio show at 518-476-5900. Or if you want to chat with us directly at one of our offices, make a consultation down in Kingston, Albany, Saratoga Springs, or Queensbury, you can call us at 518-465-7581 and schedule a free consultation with myself, Jay Marie, or David Kabikian. How are you today, Jay Marie?
I am good, other than the weather. I'm tired of snow and ice, everyone is. Right?
I think we got a while to go. We're at that point of everyone's tired of it, but I'm learning up here that it lasts quite a while.
Yeah, it's different
into April sometimes.
That's true.
Yeah, down in Long Island where we were.
Yeah, a little shorter season down there, snow-wise at least.
That's right.
And John, you were saying possibly another big one tomorrow
night. Like there's one coming in tomorrow night into Monday morning, and excuse me, I mean, for places like the city, Long Island, Boston, Cape Cod, they're really going to get hit. I guess we're going to get a glancing blow or something out of it, but nobody wants to commit, and I understand that, so we'll have to wait. Later on today, somebody will come up with a forecast for us, but right now, all we can say is snow showers, which,
I guess we'll see, but that doesn't really work for me, John.
No,
it doesn't. My wife's been in Panama and Costa Rica this week, Jay Marie. Chaperoning her high school. She's a high school teacher. She's chaperoning the trip with a bunch of students there. And she's supposed to fly in Monday morning. So
she may not be able
to get home.
That's
so
right.
Let's make sure the snow doesn't come too much up here.
Is it a direct flight or is it where is she going to
be? No, she has I think it lays over in the Carolinas, I believe.
Right. Yeah.
So
she may have some trouble. Yeah.
We shall see.
An extra day with the three kids.
Yeah.
That'll be 10 days. I don't need an extra day. I mean, 10 was enough. But
more power to you.
No, it's been all right. I had the in-laws up for half the week. My parents are up now. They're going to leave when I get back after the show. But got some support. Made it work.
That's good. You got through the week.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
No, it's all right, though. It's all good. But, that kind of made me think about today's topic, Jay Marie, if any of you. So if you don't know, we're posting we're trying to at least post ahead of time online the name of the show or the topic of the show to give you a little sneak peek or in case you want to tune in. And today's show, we named Opening Case of Emergency. And I had thought of that from a personal anecdote related to this trip Jen is on. So before she left, she left me a note. And she said, if something happens to me, read the note. She's like, you can read it now if you want. And I was like, I'm not reading it now. I'm not putting that into the world as a thank you. And so, one of those, right? And and I can guess what it contains because there's certain things that she always tells me, right? Everyone has their different little quirks and things that they do and traditions, and every person in a relationship has their role.
That's right.
And she always tells me she wants to make sure if she's not here that I do these things that she does. Like, right, for example, right, every kid's birthday, she has this one Etsy. You know what Etsy is?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
She has this one Etsy artist, if you want, that she has make the children's birthday shirt. And it's like it says the number of their age and it's and a certain theme. So I apparently have to continue that. Right. So little things like that.
Right.
That are important to her. Important to me, too. But I have no part
in
them.
Idea what she does behind the scenes.
No clue. I mean, she does a lot behind the scenes.
That's
but
right.
I don't know what it is.
So that's cute. It was all kind of personal stuff.
Right? Well, I didn't read it, but that's my assumption. Yeah. I don't want to read it. My assumption. But we talk about these things with our clients all the time, right?
All the time. I tell clients, you know, they're like, well, we give them the questionnaire to fill out. And some of them are like, why do I have to fill this out? Why do you need to know my bank accounts? I'm like, it's not necessarily that I need to know, but your children need to know if something happens to you. So have a list of where everything is, right?
Yeah.
Your accounts, your income, your expenses. That's going to be helpful someday.
Yeah, well, and you guys have a little booklet to help
and
people.
We do. Exactly.
We have a booklet we called What Your Family Should Know.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, pretty handy.
We're currently getting more of those made, actually, John.
That's good.
People
do
like them.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I think the idea is well, you know, two things. One, organization, a place to go where it has a lot of information. And two, you know, making your wishes known. And it's many different types of wishes.
Right.
Right. So the first kind is kind of what I was deferring to with Jen's note, what I think is in there. There's also the more sentimental type information.
Right.
You know, what are important traditions that I would want to pass on, my family to continue, some values are important to me.
Right.
That I want my children to read, things of that nature. So, it's not just the account numbers and this and that.
Depends
what's important to you.
That book is great. It has all kinds of things in there. For example, family tree information or who the ancestors are on both sides, right? Like when you don't always listen to the stories your grandparents told you, right?
You don't?
Well, no, I mean, you listen to them, but you forget over time, right? Which cousin or which, aunt or uncle did this and where they're from. And it's kind of nice to write that all out to do.
Yeah, I remember before Ancestry.com and whatnot, I remember I was in high school, I think it was. Yeah, I must have been high school. I went really, we had one of those family tree projects, and I went really overboard, overachiever type style, and did a really good job on it. And it, particularly my dad's family, his side of the family, they all still talk about it. Well, where's that family tree that Philip created in high school? And wrote stories that they told me. I called family members, but things like that are, they're nice to pass on to the family and keep it all in one place. If you write these things down, people can't find them. That doesn't really help anybody.
Yeah, like any family stories also that or family recipes. We have recipes from Michael's grandmother that she sent to us once and. Yeah, very sentimental.
Just that's great
really,
stuff.
Like in her handwriting, in her cursive, so no one young can read it, you know.
What is this?
A
hieroglyphic?
It's a foreign language.
I don't know what this is. Yeah, that's right.
But so often, so much of that stuff gets lost, right? So say like that recipe wasn't found, that would never come back, right?
I mean, use her chestnut sausage stuffing recipe every year.
Oh,
so that's
nice.
Like one family favorite for Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Nice. Right.
Yeah. So that sentimental stuff is important. And then, I mean, you brought up, too, all the, practical important stuff, which is very important, too.
Right.
So we always tell our clients, whether it's, using one of those books like John has from our office, or even if you just make your own spreadsheet and have information in there, like financial institution names and account numbers.
That's right.
Who the beneficiaries are in those accounts. List those things.
Passwords
are huge, especially.
I was just going to say that.
Especially in today's age, John. And the problem with that, I think all three of us probably have the same issue. I think everyone does.
Yep.
Those passwords have to change like every 6 months for some of these websites
all
and some
time.
Of these places.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm out of ideas. I only have five in my head. I can't go more than that.
I was stumped the last time. It had to be so long. It was like 16.
Oh, I hate it when they need that many characters. You know, come on.
I mean, I get it from a security perspective, but it's very annoying.
Oh boy.
I had to come up with a sentence. It was like, to make it that long, it was crazy. Yeah.
And I think they have some apps. I mean, I knew they have some apps for password protecting.
Yeah.
But I think you need a password to get into the password app. So
that's right.
It's a little ironic if you don't know that password.
Really.
But, those things are important too. And because these things change, account numbers change, things like that, I suggest updating it annually, put it a reminder on your calendar once a year, maybe around New Year time. Take a look at that list, or if you are going on a big trip or something like that, take a look at that list, make sure it's updated, everything is accurate with those things that change as much as you can. What also should go on that list, in my opinion, is important individuals, professionals rather.
Yes,
right? So
contact.
The top, well, in my opinion, the top three in this world at least, we have. If you have one, financial advisor, accountant, and estate attorney, or the estate attorneys, us, because those are going to be great resources for the family member.
That's right. Yeah, and it's interesting because I put this together, I think, last year when we first, not when we first went to Florida, but for the first time when we flew to Florida, I was having a panic about my kids not knowing anything. And then we just went again, and I pulled it out to update it. And even in a year's time, you know, some things had changed.
Sure.
Right? So it was good, but I was writing notes in there, like who to contact. And, you know, because they don't really know. So, you know, who's our financial advisor, you know.
And they don't care to know. They don't want to talk about these things to you, right?
That's right.
I mean, it's, you know, it's
not enough, something they're going to ask you, you know.
No, no. Who to contact to do tax returns, well, we have the law firm, but even who to what to do there. So,
so I mean, with those three, different professionals, the financial advisors, some people have them, some people don't. Sometimes having conversations with individuals, and there's a lot of individuals out there that we talk about, do you have a financial planner, financial advisor? No. But why do I need one of those? I do it myself. I do a good job. My stuff is growing. And it's true, particularly within the last 10 years or so, the stock market and whatnot has been a pretty upward trend. But usually that's one person in a relationship, right? So say you have two spouses and one of them is really the financial whiz, if you will.
Right.
And the other one's like, I don't even think about it. You know, he or she does it all and I trust him or her and it gets done.
Right.
And they say this to me. So my response is, you know, that's great. And I'm sure that you do a good job. But what if something happens to you, Mr. or Miss Financial Whiz? Do you trust that your spouse or your kids are going to do the same job you did? They're going to know what to do. And sometimes they're like, oh, you know, I never really thought about it that way.
That's right. That's right.
So sometimes the benefit, one of the benefits of having a good financial advisor, financial planner in your pocket is, or on your team rather, they're going to be a resource. They're going to know what's going on. They're going to have they don't just ask you about what they're managing. They ask about all your stuff because they want to get a big picture of what you have. And even if you can handle it yourself, something happens to you, they're already in the picture, right? They already know what's going on. They're already helping you, you know, and I'm not saying they have to manage all your accounts or anything like that, but I think there's that other benefit to them. And it helps us in our profession too. When we're working with clients that have, you know, good financial planners, we can go to them and get information that we might need to help with their estate plan. They're a big assistance with doing updating beneficiary designations. If we have to change owners on accounts, they can do it much quicker than the client, him or herself, or even us, because they have access to certain accounts and whatnot that we don't have.
Yeah, some of the financial planners I work with, and what you said is true, they know all of your accounts, even if they don't manage them all. So that's just another person who kind of really knows everything that's going on. And they can help you with all those different forms and account, you know, for the accounts to change owners, to change beneficiaries. And, you know, and when the time comes to actually, you know, claim those benefits, they help you walk you through that also.
That too. And that could be, you know, overwhelming as well. So, you know, I think those are some of the indirect benefits that a lot of people don't think of when you say financial advisor. They think of just a money manager, just someone who's handling my investments or doing my life insurance. And sure, they can do that as well. And a good one can do a really good job, but there is a lot of indirect benefits of having someone like that on your team.
Yeah. Having someone else explain, you know, the financial planning side to you, because, you know, as you said, in my case, I do the finances and, you know, if something happened to me, Michael will be trying to pull together all the pieces, you know?
Yeah, you got to put together that puzzle. And if there's someone that already knows what's going on, it's a lot easier. And, you know, I will go one step further than that. What I think is a good idea, you know, if you have children and whatnot, maybe introduce them to that person, because they can build a relationship. Now it becomes a trusted resource rather than just a random stranger that all of a sudden, hey, something happened to mom or dad or my spouse and I have to meet them for the first time.
That's right. And we'll continue talking about this and what else you need to put in that little box for your family right after the break.
You're listening to 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And I'm Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show. You can give us a call if you have any questions about, you know, what we're talking about, what to leave for your family, anything about wills, trusts, whatever's on your mind. We're here to answer your questions. 518-476-5900.
Yeah, what to keep in that box or in that safe or in that folder. What do you tell your clients, Jamie, when we talk about, you know, when they leave our office and they have a folder full of very, very, very important documents, where do you tell them to keep it? You get the question often, where should I put the stuff?
Just yesterday I got it, so I said, not in the safe deposit box.
Absolutely not.
It's the opposite of what you were told years ago, right? I'd say keep it at home in a safe, you know, metal filing cabinet or whatever you have. Some people have safes at home.
Yeah, we have a nice little strong box in my house.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good place to put it.
A key,
yeah.
Just hide it. I have a story too, but before I get to my story from yesterday, why not safe deposit box?
Because if it's just you and your spouse on there when you die, the box is locked or frozen and you can't get in. Right.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So there's a specific court proceeding to open a safe deposit box, and it's a whole form of proceeding, and then they have you bring the court order to the bank, and the bank representative drills it open and takes an and when they drill it open, guess what? You don't even get the contents. They give you an inventory for you to file with the court.
So
it's a whole process.
That's a mess.
Personally, I had to do that for my father-in-law. We had to go to the bank and all that with the attorney. Just to see what was in the box.
Just to see there. And it might be what'd you find? Like a button? A button and a pen?
Some old, life insurance policies that were expired. Yeah. And some, old jewelry. It wasn't even, costume jewelry. Yeah.
A lot of people forget that, I think you got to pay an annual fee, but a lot of people forget they even have it or what's in there.
Forget that.
And I put something in there 25 years ago. I don't know what it is. So not the best place. I had a client yesterday ask that question, and some similar to you, home fireproof safe, but they had a small lockbox that got broken into last year. They got burglarized. They found the lockbox and it got busted open.
Right.
So I said, well, you know what? Go out and buy one of those bigger ones that you can bolt to your basement cement floor, and that might be a little safer.
That's right.
That's
unusual, I guess, but that's
doesn't happen often. I said, or hide it better, and I didn't. Must not have done a good job hiding it. So
right. Hopefully there was just papers in there, not, you know.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything too important for them. But and what goes in that lockbox? You were talking about important information, sentimental in nature, more practical in nature, account numbers, passwords, things of that nature.
That's right.
And I was going into financial advisors, so one of the important individuals that should be on the team potentially and have their information in there as well, even go so far as introducing your loved ones to whoever that is. The next one I had was accountant. So accountant, also to start with, is a great source of information because when they do your taxes every year, typically they're seeing paperwork for at least the majority of your accounts.
Right.
Anything that has a 1099 attached to it or some kind of statement, you're giving that to your accountant. So they're going to have also a very good idea of what's in place, what the person has.
Yeah, your accountants know that your accountants see you, you know, to do your taxes every year, and they get all those 1099s, so they know where you have all your accounts. Sometimes that's the only way we can find out where your accounts are, is to go to the accountant. So they're a really important person to be in touch with if you have one.
Right? And a lot of times, too, you might have to file an additional tax return, and if you know who the accountant is already, it's going to be a lot easier working with someone that already knows the person's mm-hmm. financial information than right. having to go to a brand new accountant and start right. from scratch. And then you have to be the one to compile and figure out what paperwork is necessary rather than, oh, last year, this is what they had. They should That's have, right. you know, similar stuff this year.
They can even estimate if, you know, sure. this is about the same. This is what they will owe for this taxes.
Yeah. Super helpful.
Very helpful to do that.
Then you have the estate attorney, by far, obviously the most important person in your life.
Of course.
You know, not. But part of the team, the estate attorney, and a lot of times we're one of the first professionals yeah. that the family contacts.
We are, definitely.
And
calls sometimes very quickly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very quickly. And I like the calls that I like mm-hmm. are the ones where the family member that the other, whoever's calling about, right. did good planning.
Yes, the ones that have a trust are usually the best ones. They come in expecting a whole proceeding or, you know, and then they walk out of there saying, oh, thank God my parents did the trust, right?
Yeah, and those ones, a lot of times we are just giving good, well, usually not a great scenario, but good information being that, yeah, hey, right. the good news here is there's not much for you to have to do. We don't have to go to court. Mm-hmm. Your parents or your loved one, whoever it may be, did all this planning and we kind of just give some guidance.
Yes.
And send them on their way. We're obviously there as a resource. Some people, despite what, how much planning you do, some people just don't want to do it on their own. Mm-hmm. So obviously we were always there if you want to retain us to, you know, do some of the work. And the idea is the work is as little as possible if we did good planning.
Right.
But sometimes there's things, right? So like say we did a trust and someone mm-hmm. passes away. We don't have to go to mm-hmm. court. Everything was titled properly with right. beneficiaries and in the trust. Even then, sometimes we want to have whoever the trustee is, the person who's managing it,
right.
have the other beneficiaries sign off
yes.
before getting their share.
Right. So, yeah, that's an important thing. So the trustee of the trust is responsible for collecting all the assets, right, putting them together mm-hmm. and distributing them to the beneficiaries. 9 times out of 10, that's going to be, you know,
fine,
yeah. easy, right? The 10th time, that's the one where you have the beneficiaries questioning, oh, I thought there was more money in this account, or why did you sell the house for this much, or what was that expense, right?
Yeah. Or someone gets into their ear 2 years later, and they're like, you know what? I don't think I got my fair share, and
yes.
I'm going to dig deep and bring some kind of court proceeding. So it's always good to get, you know, signed, informed consent and agreement before distributing assets from wherever, a trust or an estate's a little bit different because if it's with the court actually requires us to do that. Right. Whereas with the trust, we're not, you know, we're avoiding court, which is a good thing usually, but you're going to want them to sign off. Here's what was in, you know, mom or dad's trust.
Right.
These are the values when mom or dad passed away. Here's what was paid out. These are the expenses that we had to pay, right. funeral costs, administrative costs, whatever the case was. Here's what's left. Here's what you're entitled to. Sign off that you agree and you, right. know, you waive any future claims against the person as the trustee. And, you know, that's going to help protect the trustee from future claims.
Absolutely. You want to do that if there's any question that you think someone's going to question, you know, what the value was. It's a good idea to do that. And we can help with that with the trust.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So some other items on my list and, you know, I'm going away. Something's big's coming up. What do I check? Double check, triple check beneficiary designations.
Yes.
Because sometimes, even though you think that everything has beneficiaries, an account number changed or, you know, somehow a new account got opened up and right. that didn't get done. Or what we see very commonly overlooked are your regular bank type accounts, checking accounts, saving right. accounts, money market accounts. People, I don't want to say people ignore those, but there's kind of a lack of information because when you open up account, you know, say we go to whatever, one of the local banks.
Right.
I want to open up a checking account. It is very, very, very unlikely that the bank representative you're working with is going to ask you, do you want to put a beneficiary on that account?
True. Right. So if you're doing a retirement account or a life insurance, you know, that's part of the form. You have to put a beneficiary.
Yeah, they put it right in front of your face. So like
right.
it's right in front of you. You have to answer the question.
That's right.
You're probably going to put a beneficiary.
Right.
Not the same process with bank accounts.
Not at all. You know, a lot of people don't know that you can put a beneficiary in bank accounts. So that's something we educate you about because, you know, when we do the trust, we want to make sure everything is done completely. So I'm going to ask you about your checking, savings, your investment accounts that are not retirement accounts can have a beneficiary.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can have a beneficiary on pretty much everything.
Yeah, we don't want a single loose thread, right? There's one loose thread. Oh, yeah, I got 90% of everything, but there's one account hanging out there, you know, that maybe it only has $10,000 in it. I don't know, but it didn't have a beneficiary. The person passes away. Everything else passes, but guess what? That one account is going to get frozen, and we're likely going to have to go to court to be able to access it. So we don't want any loose threads. Right. We want to check all those boxes, and that includes those little bank accounts.
Even life insurance and retirement accounts, you know, you may have to update them. Sometimes I look at, you know, clients, they ever give you that. I say, okay, who's the beneficiary in your life insurance? And they look, you know.
Or it's like it's my mom. It's like, is your mom still alive?
That's
right. She died 20 years ago. Oh,
right.
Well, we should update that.
You should update that. Now you're married and you have two kids. You need to update that. Right.
Taking it one step further for those accounts, you know, you mentioned like spouses and whatnot. So a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times your spouse might be your primary beneficiary on these accounts, and that's great. Backup beneficiaries, right?
Yes.
So naming contingent beneficiaries in case of a simultaneous death in a tragic event, or you know, the person passes away and I just forget to update my stuff. If I have those backup, the contingent beneficiaries on the accounts, it's still going to avoid court and avoid probate and go to those contingent backup beneficiaries automatically.
Yes, that's right. And if you have your spouse on there and you don't add your children, right? Add your children. But with kids, it's really important to think about how old your kids are.
Yeah.
If they're the beneficiary on those accounts and they're under 18, that's, you know.
Could be a problem.
Could be a problem. Yeah. So if you have a trust set up in your will for your children, you have to make sure that money goes to that trust.
Yeah. Or, you know, if we want to get the best of both worlds in a scenario like that, avoid, because, you know, beneficiary designations, like we say, avoid probate. Wills have to go through probate. If we have some form of a living trust set up, whether it is, you know, irrevocable or revocable, we always talk about those two. Yeah. Either one of them, if we have one and we make that trust, maybe the contingent beneficiary, that's going to give us two benefits. It's going to avoid probate first, avoid court, but also allow us to control distributions, which a direct beneficiary designation doesn't. So, you mentioned young kids not wanting to have them as beneficiaries.
Right.
If it's the trust, the trust can still leave it to the kids, but with rules.
You can set that age older. You know, I would say not many, hardly any of our clients want their kids to get the money at 18.
Yeah. So that's a way we can achieve multiple goals there. It works really well sometimes. So we have a few minutes left. The last thing I'll talk about here is having the difficult conversations.
And you got about a minute.
Yep. So I always tell my clients, I'm a huge fan of the open book policy. These things, death, illness, disability, talking about that stuff. It's not taboo. It's not the case where if you say it, it's going to happen. It's just practical. So find the time to sit down with your loved ones and you know, I'm not telling you to do this every Sunday dinner, but you know, once in a while, or even if it's just once and not for a long time, have these conversations, talk about these things. Right. Where do I keep my stuff? Let's look at it together.
You don't want them to open that box and have everything be a surprise.
Right, for the first time.
First time. Let them know who's in charge, right?
Yeah.
Who's going to be the executor, who's going to be your power of attorney. Talk about that ahead of time so they know they have to do that job.
Yeah, what do I want in certain medical situations? If you say it out loud to them and they hear you say it, and it comes a time that they have to make that decision, it's going to be a lot easier on their conscience, if you will.
That's right.
Because it's more like it's coming from you rather than them making the decision. So, and I'm not going to minimize it. Difficult conversations to have.
That's right.
But very important.
Very important. Have a great, wonderful weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.